Father, we want to present ourselves to you as willing servants, trusted rulers, people who can unlock our environments, people who have been transformed by renewed patterns of thinking. Father, would you show us your will? Would you show us your will for Enniskillen? You show us our will for your will for Fermanagh. Would you show us your will for Northern Ireland? And we declare, Lord, we need you. We cannot do it without you. And would you come and intervene? Would you come and transform our lives and transform our society? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So Romans 12, 1 and 2 looked back in the book of Romans to the previous 11 chapters where it says in view of God's mercy. So everything that he's done before, and now what it does is it looks forward to the next 5 chapters in the rest of the letter. And that's where Paul is going to show us how to live the Christian life and how we do that with a being transformed with a renewed mind and a body offered as a living sacrifice. We chatted before that living sacrifice is a bit of a oxymoron, but hey, we'll let that go. We won't focus on that. This non-English grammar lesson. But in the rest of chapter 12, he's going to talk about our relationship within the church, how we get on with each other, fellow believers, and then to consider how we are to relate to people outside of the church. Because that's important. That's what we're called to do. And in verse 9, there are 3 imperatives where he says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. 3 things. Love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. And each of them tells us what it means to live a life that's truly about love. That's what love is about. Be sincere, hate evil, cling to good. The 3 of them are about truth. But I noticed a thing in the message, and it says this. Love from the centre of who you are. Don't fake it. Love from the centre of who you are. Don't fake it. And so for the day, I thought, do you know what? I'm going to call this talk Sincerely Fake. If we're going to look at oxymorons, which we're not. But if you think about oxymorons, sincerely fake. Love from the centre of who you are. Don't fake it. That's a big thing, isn't it? It's massive. Well, if you think that's big, let me unpack it a wee bit more. Are we faking it? Have you ever faked it? You have. Thank you for your honesty. Have you ever faked it? We probably all have at some stage. And it says there, Paul writes, love must be sincere. And I'll be honest with you, I did the book of Romans in Greek, and I missed this completely. And I noticed that this week. And it's, do you know the word for hypocrite? Well, it uses the same root for that word. It uses the word anupokritos, which means unhypocritical. And when it uses the word sincere, it's basically saying, be unhypocritical. And I thought, that's what sincerity is. Unhypocritical. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is great. And you know, sometimes when you just read something and something just comes out and it completely changes and transforms what you thought about before, and it's just like an aluminum sighting. Do you know, that's what it was like for me this week, an aluminum sighting. And I thought, my goodness, that's what this means. Live unhypocritically. And I thought, oh, that impacts everything that we do and everything that we are. Everything. Are we faking it? Are we being hypocritical? Are we saying one thing, doing another? Are we keeping up appearances? We all know who Hyacinth Bouquet is. Hyacinth Bucket. Are we keeping up appearances? Because when you're faking it, you get found out in the end, won't you? If you try and be false with people on the street, and no matter what you think of people who don't know Jesus yet, some of them are incredibly streetwise. Some of them are incredibly intelligent and academically wise as well. And you know what? A lot of the time, they can see through you're faking it. We're called to be unhypocritical. Love must be sincere. A sincerity of love is what we need. We're not to be inauthentic in how we relate to people. Inauthenticity is just awful. But I thought I would read the whole two verses, verses 9 and 10, from what the Message says. It says, love from the centre of who you are, don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil. Hold on for dear life to good. Be good friends who love deeply. Practice playing second fiddle. Do you know what we've not to be? We've not to be polite, helpful, warm on the outside, nice and fuzzy and that whole thing, where really on the inside you're despising them. You're like, oh, know them again. They come walking to your door or in the door or wherever you're, and you're like, hi. Oh man, I could see this far enough. Lovely to see ye. Man, they do my head in. Where they come and they monopolise your time, and you're just like, I've got things to do. Sit down, you make yourself at home. It's so good to see you. And you're really inside like, please leave. That's being hypocritical, isn't it? That's no being sincere. Ever been there? Ever done that? That's what Paul's talking about. And we're Christians. We're meant to show love. Love must be sincere. Because we live in a culture, Northern Ireland's massive for this, of that whole niceness thing. Hi. Have a tree bake. I'd never heard of tree bakes until I moved to Northern Ireland. Have a tree bake, cup of tea, do you know? And you're really like, man, I just wish you would leave. Well, if you wish they would leave, don't give them a tree bake, don't make them a cup of tea and tell them you're busy. But we're too nice to do that, aren't we? And that niceness is developed within the church, hasn't it? Because we're afraid to be authentic because of what we think that'll do. But that's how we're meant to be. We're meant to be telling the truth, but we're living inauthentic lives, and therefore we're living a lie. Essentially, that's what it boils down to, hasn't it? There's this whole facade of geniality and hello, and it cloaks this whole spirit of backbiting. Did anybody see Peter Kay last night? And he's talking about how when the bride comes in, man, they fair shoved her into that dress, squeezed that. Wonder when she got fitted for that. And then when you see the bride, like, oh, you look gorgeous, darling, lovely. She come here and you hug her and you give her a wee kiss in the cheek, like, man, they must have squeezed her right in that. Must have jumped off the wardrobe to get in that one. Do you know, and it's kind of a wee bit like that. That's inauthentic, isn't it? And that's what the church is often like. Spirit of backbiting, gossip, prejudice. Oh no, there's them again. I'm not sitting beside them. Whew. Man, I sat beside them before and there's no peace. No peace. It's just like they stole my joy. I'm not sitting beside them again. Oh no. Oh, sit there. Put your jacket on that seat. Don't let them sit. That's what it's like, and that's the church. And you're like, oh my goodness. There's an absence of tough love in the church, where we would love each other enough to confront problems and sin in ourselves and in our friends. Does that sound familiar? We're no confrontational. The church is really not confrontational. But then Paul goes on. So he talks about love is to be sincere. So that needs to change. And when we go through that, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, where we experience renewed patterns of thinking, then we change that. We start to become authentic believers. We start to confront the things that we need to confront. We start to be unhypocritical. We start to be sincere in our love. And then he goes on, Paul goes on and he goes and he says, to hate is a negative thing, and to cling to, hate and cling to. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Hate what is evil. He's encouraging us to hate. He's encouraging us to hate that which isn't right. Our love must operate on the basis of God's moral order. And the word hate literally means be averse to, as totally repugnant as to what God classifies as evil. Evil being that which is not of God. Inauthenticity. Hate that. Hate it. Let it make you up. Man, that's disgusting. That attitude that is repugnant. And disassociate for that. And then it says, and cling to what is good. This is great. It literally means be glued together to that which God is saying is good. Like, I remember years ago, right, this is funny, and I just hope that the person that this happened to is healed and is happy and bears literally no scars from what happened, because as I tell you this, you will laugh. And I don't mean that to make, I'm not going to say who the person is, I don't know them, but this is a shameful thing to have went through. Do you remember, you know what super glue is? Yeah. The Loctite stuff. And do you know when, if you've obviously at some point in your life you've used it and you've went, oh no, my fingers are stuck together, and then you run them under the tap and you're like, ah, oh, freedom. And then for like a few hours you've got that wee hard bit and you're like, and then you just kind of nibble at it to get it off. Yeah. Right. Now, I'm not going to say imagine having that in another place, but remember when super glue just came out and it was heralded as this wonder thing. And because no one had ever seen, like, do you know, we were sick of Yoohoo because it never stuck anything. Do you know, you remember trying to stick stuff with Yoohoo and like 3 days later it was like, you know, what's the point? And so Superglue came out and it stuck everything. And so in Glasgow, somebody thought they would play this quite funny but really sick practical joke. At St Enoch Underground train station, there's public toilets. And what they did was, do you know some public toilets have that seat that doesn't lift? So somebody smeared super glue all over this and somebody sat on it to do the toilet. Couldn't you get off? So this was in the paper. Like the Sunday Mail, right? So, like, the majority of Scotland, one way or another, has read it. And they had, the fire brigade had to come. And they had to detach the toilet seat, the whole bowl, from the ground and carry the person out with this still attached. And then take them in an ambulance with this still attached hospital. Can you imagine? It's bad enough when your fingers are stuck together, isn't it? And then you're attached to the throne. Can't get off. And then for all these people to see it, because I'm sure there was a crowd at St Enoch Square. If you've ever been in Glasgow, St Enoch Square is not a quiet place. There's a lot of people. It's a busy underground station. But that's what it talks about. That cling to, be glued together to what is good. Be attached. The way that person was attached to the toilet, be attached to what is good. That's it. Be super glued to what is good. Why is it so important to be glued to that? Because when you love somebody, it often distorts your view of good and evil, doesn't it? What is the saying people say? Love is blind. Love is blind. Oh, all you can see is love hearts. Love is blind. Right? And so when you're in love, love is blind. It distorts our view of good and evil. And then you really get caught up in the whole trap of, oh, well, I'll just tell them what makes them feel good. And makes feel boundaries just... Pff. Boundaries? What are boundaries? Who cares? I'm in love. Love is blind. And the distress of the person that you love becomes yours, doesn't it? Their happiness becomes yours. So happy. I'm so happy. Do you mean you just get caught up in the whole emotion thing? And that leads to the temptation to give the loved one what brings emotional joy rather than what is best. We know this. Just nod. Right? But that leads us to seek to fulfill their emotional joy rather than telling them what is right. Bringing up children. If you have kids, you know what I'm going to get at. You probably already know. Sometimes you don't want to tell them off just for peace and quiet, to keep the peace. And sometimes kids don't punish, or discipline would be a better word actually, wouldn't it? They don't discipline their children consistently because they can't bear the tears, the emotion and the anger. End result? Disaster, isn't it? There has to be boundaries. And there has to be boundaries in adult relationships. We have to just do it. Tough love. And so, it seems strange to tell somebody to love and to hate in the same sentence. because they're complete polar opposites. But that's what Paul does. He tells us, love, cling to what is good, hate what is evil, sincere love. Love and hate in one sentence. We cannot love rightly without hating rightly. Because you think, oh, well, how can we hate? God doesn't hate. Well, God does. It tells us in Scripture that he abhors sin. And with that abhorrence, that, you know, is part of his character, and that is to be part of our character, where we hate the right things. We hate evil. We don't hate the people who carry out evil. We hate the evil practices. And there's a difference. We need to be sincere. We need to be honest. We need to tell the truth all the time. And any love that's afraid to confront the person that you love is not really a love, but a selfish desire to be loved. Here's what I mean. Selfish love makes an idol out of that which it loves. Okay? I'll do anything to keep him or her happy, but I'll do anything to keep him or her loving me. That's at the root of what it is. You'll do anything to keep them loving you. And therefore, that's no loving the person. Is it? It's loving the love that you get from that person. And that's fake. Do you know what else that is? It's narcissistic. Because it's about you loving yourself. And it's selfish. True love is willing to be confrontational. And if you're part of this community or any other faith community, then what you need to do, because we now are in a place where we have been transformed by the renewing of our minds, new patterns of thinking, then in those new patterns of thinking, we need to stop this inauthenticity. We need to start being authentic. We need to start be tactful, but we need to start telling it a bit more like it is, don't we? Somebody offends you, go and tell them. Somebody wronged you, go and speak to them about it. Somebody comes to your door and you're in the middle of doing something, tell them, sorry, I'm in the middle of doing something. Somebody phones you, how are you? Looking to come over? I'll be here in about 15 minutes. I'm sorry, I'm in the middle of doing something right now. I'm busy. Maybe see you on Thursday or whatever. And they're like, what? Never done that before. You get with the program. Start being authentic. Start being sincere. Does that mean you don't love them? No. Just you're being honest. If you do love the person, then you will treat them the way you would expect them to treat you. So would you rather people were inauthentic with you, or would you rather they told you the truth? So why do we treat other people any other way? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. A wise man once said that. And sometimes we just live insincere lives. Let's stop being hypocritical. But if you think that's challenging, what about this? Because when it says, love must be sincere, hate what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another in love, honour one another above yourselves, play second fiddle, honour other people above yourselves. So what about this? Can sum this up in a phrase. Love the ones you don't love. honour others or honour another above yourself? What about the ones you don't love? What about the one that comes in and you're like, oh no, not them again? How about loving them? How about the characters that come in and continually monopolise your time? How about loving them? Here's the challenging thing. What about when people, you know, we all come across people that maybe are undesirable. They might smell. They might have a really unkempt appearance. They're just dirty. You're not even thinking about their situation. You're just like, oh man. Love them. Love the ones you don't love. How do you do that? And here's what I have to say, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See the mess you were in? You might have had really nice clothes. You might have wore the top of the range cologne or perfume or whatever. But the mess you were in, at the time you came to the recognition, man, I cannot do this myself. I need somebody to help me. Jesus, I need you. See, at that time, see the mess that you were really in, all the stuff that was going on inside, or the stuff that people didn't see. Did Jesus hold that against you? Did Jesus look and say, no way, you're filthy, and pull away from you? Did he recoil when you entered into the room? No. Did he judge you with the baggage that you had when you came into his presence? No. Why do we do it with other people? Why are we inauthentic? Love must be sincere. It's not about how people look, how they act. Do they annoy you? Do they? Most days are sitting thinking about somebody. Do they annoy you? Do they irritate you? Do they want to monopolise your time? Are they always asking you for something? Always taking? Never saying thank you? Never showing appreciation? They are the ones that we've to love, but hey, create boundaries. Tell them, look, I love you. Or show them love. And sometimes that just needs to be tougher. And just say, do you know what, I'm sorry, you can't have this anymore. Still show them love. That's what we need to do. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 5 says this. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Don't even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Sincerity. Listen, you know this. The church everywhere is full of insincerity. Full of it. You know, if you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors. Tax collectors were despised. There are churches the length and breadth of this nation where they all love other people who are the same as them. What about the people who are not? That's who we're called to love. We're called to love the outcasts. We're called to love the ones that irritate and annoy you, are always asking, always taking. They might smell. They might have problems. Good grief. I've got problems. You've got problems. Let's start being a bit more honest. Being a bit more sincere and authentic. Our problems might not be the same as theirs. Who's judging? Usually us. And that's what we have to stop. It says there that he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. See, when it's a sunny day, people who don't know Jesus get a suntan as much as you do. And see, when it's lashing with rain, people who don't know Jesus need a brolly as much as you do. He causes the sun to shine on everybody. He causes the rain to fall on everybody. Are we no better than tax collectors? Loving only where it says, and if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than other people? People right across the country are greeting people who are the same as them. In different fraternities and different organisations. How are you, brother, or whatever that is. Wherever they go, they greet one another with warmth and love and affection. Are we only going to do that for the people in here? Are we going to start being authentic and being sincere and showing that to the people out there? Because that's who Paul's telling us that we have to be authentic with. Let's stop being hypocrites. It's easy to love the people that are here. But life's no easy. You've probably noticed. Do not even the pagans do that. People who don't know God, who are far away from God, are nice to the people who are the same as them. How then does that set us apart from anybody else? It doesn't. We're meant to be different. And when you have accepted Jesus, you're already on that road to having patterns of renewed thinking. That's what's meant to happen. Things are meant to change in here. And I would really, I mean, this is going to sound harsh. Well, we need to start questioning things if it's not. If there is no change. Who did you meet that day when you think you gave your life to Christ? We're meant to be different. We need to start showing a sincerity of love. Start being authentic. Stop being hypocrites. Cling to what is good. Hate what is evil. So here's the challenge. Love the ones you don't love. You know who they are.